Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narancheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirae. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, titled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra, Text 7. Ka Tvam Chikir Shashi Cha Kim Munivarya Shaile Mayasi Kapi Bhagavat Para Devatayaha Vijye Bibarshi Danushi Suhurt Atmano Arthe Kim Va Mrigan Mrigayase Vipine Pramattan Katvam Chikir Sasi Chakim Munivarya Shaile Maya Sikapi Bhagavat Paradevatayaha Vijye Bivarshi Danushi Suhurd Atmano Arthe Kimva Mrigan Mrigayase Vipina Pramattan Katvam Chikir Sasi Chakim Munivarya Shaile Maya Sikapi Bhagavat Paradevatayaha Vijye Bibarsi Danushi Surat Atmanorte Kimva Mrigan Mrigayase Vipina Pramattan Katvam Chikir Sasi Chakim Munivarya Shaile Maya Sikapi Bhagavat Paradevatayaha Vijye Bibarshi Danushi Suhurd Atmanorate Kimva Mrigan Mrigayase Vipine Pramattan.
Yeah. Matajis. Okay. Ka who tvam are you? Chikirsasi, are you trying to do? Cha, also. Kim, what? Munivarya, O best of munis. Shaile, on this hill. Maya, illusory potency. Asi, are you? Kapi, some. Bhagavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paradevatayaha, of the Transcendental Lord. Vijye, without strings. Bibarsi, you're carrying. Danushi, two bows. Suhrit, of a friend. Atmanaha, of yourself. Arte, for the sake. Kim, kimva, or mrigan, forest animals. Mrigayase, are you trying to hunt? Vipine, in this forest. Pramattan, who are materially maddened. Translation. The prince mistakenly addressed the apsara. O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill? And what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidra was captivated by the movements of Purvachitti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistaistair Hritagyanaha, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidra, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachitti was male or female. He mistook her for a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat Paradevatayaha. Devata, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Paradevata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Paradevata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Maya is not the ultimate authority for creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purvachitti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidra compared them to bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals, such as deer and tigers, meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows without strings, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidra could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Pramatan is also significant. Pramata refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are Pramata or Vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Shoche tato vimukka chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya baram udvahato vimudhan. They're rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I'm simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as Pramatta, Vimukha and Vimuda. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is Apramatta, a sane, sober person, a Dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are Pramatta with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidra questioned Purvachitti about this. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 5, Chapter 2, Text 7 in the matter of the activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Humagyanatimirandasya gyananjana shlakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shivatapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sagana ragunatan vitam tamsajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sagana lalita shri vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nagaragrama Tarine Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dhanadase Iti Namine Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurudintarinam Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So in this chapter of the fifth canto we are dealing with the activities of Maharaj Agnidra, who by Vedic dharmic standards is a great king. It is explained how Maharaj Agnidra was affectionate and he protected his citizens just like his own begotten sons. So even by modern standards, he is a very ideal king. However, from the perspective of the Bhagavatam, King Agnidra is a fallen man. So, this whole description here in this chapter, we see how Agnidra is considered fallen because although he may execute his material duties very nicely, he is depending on Lord Brahma to fulfill his material desires, and he has this whole propensity to make the best use of his position as a king to derive maximum enjoyment dharmically possible from this material world. Now these things are in direct opposition to the principles of pure devotional service. According to the principles of pure devotional service, we depend only on Krishna, even if we have a material desire which we are not able to overcome. We depend simply on the Supreme Lord. If you so desire, may you grant this desire, may you kindly fulfill this desire of mine. Simply desire, simply depend on Krishna. Just like the example of Kardama Muni, although he was practicing devotional service for so many thousands of years, when he had a material desire to get married, what he does is that he does not depend on his own endeavor of producing a beautiful woman and getting married to her. Although he could easily do that, he does that later on in his life to provide assistance to his wife. So he does not depend on his own endeavor. He does not depend on the demigods. He does not pray to Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, for a beautiful wife. And third thing, he does not ask the Lord for anything specific. Even when the Lord appears in front of him, he knows about the existence of Devahuti, the most beautiful woman in the universe. But he does not ask the Lord that if the Lord could arrange for him to somehow get married to Devahuti. So that is the nature of pure devotional service. First of all, Kardama Muni was shameful also. When the Lord appeared, he told the Lord that you have personally appeared in front of me, yet I am so foolish, I am so shameless, that I still have this desire which I am not able to overcome. So we see from the example of Kardama Muni, what is the standard of pure devotional service? He does not depend on his own strengths. He does not depend on others, the demigods or others. And he does not ask the Lord for anything specific. He simply expresses his inability to overcome his material desire. But in contrast to that, if you see what King Agnidara does, he prays to Lord Brahma. Prabhupada explains that even to this day, in some families in India, they put the picture of Lord Brahma in invitation cards, because he fulfills material desires, especially desires to get married. So Maharaj Agnidara, he depended on Brahma. See, it's not that the kings in the past did not know, have knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew. For example, you see how he's talking to Purvachiti. The Ayu Maya, the illusory potential of the Supreme Lord. So they did have some knowledge of the Supreme Lord. But he depended on Brahma to fulfill his material desires. And when Purvachiti appeared, he's completely enamored by her, because he has this desire to enjoy the facilities of this material world to the maximum possible extent. Now, this is the second thing, that is, first of all, he's depending on the demigods, which is opposed to the principles of pure devotional service. The second thing is that he's got this tendency to try to derive the maximum enjoyment possible from his given situation. So that is not the attitude of pure devotional service. In pure devotional service, we are interested in somehow or the other trying to please Krishna, somehow or the other trying to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, instructions of our spiritual masters, instructions of our superiors. Somehow or other we are interested in that. That is our goal, to achieve Krishna Prema. That is our goal. This is not that, first of all, we need to understand the nature of this material world. No matter how much hard we may try, there can never be a perfect material arrangement. Whether it is work, whether it is marriage, or whether it's anything else in life. So our business is not to try hard to somehow or at the other create a perfect economic situation for others. Work so hard that it's never going to happen, because there are always going to be different obstacles, there are always going to be different imperfections in that process. Similarly, it is not our goal to somehow or the other try to have a materially perfect married life. Because this concept of made for each other, which is so popular, the concept of romance, made for each other, this is a myth. Because it is only Krishna who is made for us. And we are made for Krishna. So this made for each other can only happen perfectly in relationship with Krishna. It can never happen in relationship with some other living entity. Yet Maya makes it appear this is possible. This is possible. It's just you have to try a little bit more order. Then we can have a perfect romantic relationship, a perfect materially glorious marital relationship. This is an illusion. It can never happen like that. So what our attitude in pure devotional service should be, whatever we have got by the mercy of Krishna, we're grateful to that, grateful for that. We are thankful to Krishna for whatever situation that we have been placed in. And from whatever situation that we have been placed in, let us try to achieve the actual goal of life, which is pure devotional service. Let's not try to get absorbed in trying to make things materially perfect, materially grand. That is an opposition to the principles of pure devotional service. Our principle is, let us try hard to achieve the goal of life, the truly selfless goal of life, the truly greatest goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. And to achieve Krishna Prema is not an ordinary thing. In fact, it is an impossible task. In the past, people did not even know of this. It was something so rare, this concept of Krishna Prema. But when the Lord came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He has distributed something as rare as that, so freely. And it is available to all of us in equal measure. The opportunity is available to all of us. It is not that people from a pious background have a greater opportunity. No. The opportunity is available for all of us. Papi tapi yato chilo hari name udarilo. The opportunity is equally available. Just like, suppose we have to drive to a destination. Okay? And there may be a variety of cars which we can drive to that destination. And if all the cars can drive at the equal maximum speed, let's say in India, let's say 120 kilometers an hour. Let's say we have a variety of 10 cars and each of them can drive you at maximum speed. And if you are allotted a particular car, your business is to think, I have to drive to my destination at the maximum possible speed. That's all. Of course, we are assuming the roads are fairly good. So our business is not try, okay, I got this car, this does not have an AC, this does not have this facility, that facility. So let me try to make all these things perfect. That's like trying to make material life perfect. That is not our business. Our business is, we have been given this facility. We have been given in this human form of life, that you can attain this highest goal called Krishna Prema. So we have to try it. We have to try to achieve, no matter what it takes, we have to try to achieve this goal of life. It doesn't matter, because some of us may have been born in pious backgrounds. So therefore, we have a certain advantage. We may have a more comfortable car. Not advantage. We have a more comfortable car. We have an AC or what, a very smooth car. Doesn't matter. Somebody else may not have a smooth car as us, but they've got the equal opportunity to drive equally fast. So that is the point, that we are not trying to make our material life perfect. We're not trying to get the best car to drive. We have to only drive once. Straight back to God and drive straight to Krishna Prema. That is our goal. So we're not absorbed so much in what kind of car, trying to make this perfect, trying to make that perfect, trying to make a perfect work arrangement, trying to make a perfect materially satisfactory marriage, and all these different things. Rather, of course, I'm not saying that we should be irresponsible. Whatever work we have to perform it dutifully. In the concept of married life, we have to be dutiful, we have to be loving, we have to be affectionate, and carry out, do the needful. But our process is not, okay, let's try to make this whole thing perfect, you know, so that I can derive the maximum rasa out of it, and I also can progress very well in Krishna consciousness. That is contrary to the principles of pure devotional service. And Krishna Prema is not an ordinary goal, it's an extraordinary goal, and it takes extraordinary effort. Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us that, and Prabhupada also has demonstrated it vividly during his manifest time, during his manifest pastimes on this planet, how we can achieve this goal, this truly selfless goal of Krishna Prema. We have to keep our focus on that goal. Sometimes we hear, Oh, it's just a question of spiritual life means you just have to try your best. But trying your best is not enough. Krishna consciousness is not a question of just trying your best. Oh, we're just doing something. No, it is a pursuit. It is an active pursuit. The pursuit of Krishna Prema. And it is actually an impossible pursuit. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this truly selfless goal of Krishna Prema is attainable. That is very much attainable. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us only 8 verses called the Shikshashtaka. And these 8 verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, are a progression to Krishna Prema. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the first verse of the Shikshashtaka is about Shraddha. Chitodarpanam Arjanam. That verse is about Shraddha. The second verse, Namnamakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kala. This verse is about, of course, I mean, it explains how the Lord has Durdaiva Vidarsham Ihajini Nanuraga, where it says that Krishna has invested all his potencies into this holy name. So this verse is referred to as the verse which gives us sadhu sangha. We have to perform this. This verse gives us the indication of sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and anartha nivritti. So by practicing, very very sincere chanting of the holy names, we come in the association of devotees, our anarthas get removed. And then we come to the third verse of the Shikshashtaka, which speaks about nishta. Taro trinadapisuni chena taro riva saishnuna amani na manadena kirtanaya sadahari. So these 5 things happen. Trinadapisuni chena, you become humbler than the blade of grass. Taro riva saishnuna, you become more tolerant than a tree. Amanina, you don't expect any desire for yourself. Manadena, you respect, you offer full respect to others. And kirtaniya sadahari, you chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So this verse refers to nishta. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the na dhanam na janam na sundarim. That verse of the Shikshashtaka refers to ruchi. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram. That verse refers to asakti. Nayanam galad ashrudharaya. That verse refers to bhava. And then yugaitam nimeshena. That verse refers to Krishna prema in separation. And Ashlishiva Padam Rata Shupinashtamam, that refers to Krishna Prema in union of the Lord. So this is the progression. These are the only 8 verses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. And it explains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in detail, in his Bhajana Rahasya, explains in detail this whole progression from Shraddha to Prema. And so we should be focused on this goal of Shraddha to Prema. Everything else, whatever we get, we are satisfied. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that the secret of happiness is contentment. So whatever we have, we should be content. Whatever comes by the mercy of Krishna, by some simple endeavor, not by over endeavor, by some simple endeavor, we take it as the mercy of Krishna and we are content with it. But we are focused on this goal, the goal of attaining Krishna Prema. And today, being Gundicha Marjana Day, the day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they cleanse the Gundicha temple very intensely. And so this process has been referred to by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whom Prabhupada quotes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This process of Gundicha Marjanam has been referred to as the process of cleansing the heart and installing Krishna in the heart, the process of attaining this love of Godhead. So there is a very, very interesting purport where Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about what is the significance of this Gundicha Marjanam. So I've been asked to speak half on the verse and half about this topic of Gundicha Marjanam. And somehow, fortunately for me, both the verse and the activity are directly related. So let us read, this is a very fairly long purport, so let's read it slowly and in parts so that we can grasp the essence of this whole process of Gundicha Marjanam. So this comes, this purport is from the text 135 of the 12th chapter of Madhyalila. The chapter is titled Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha Temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridi Antasto Hi Abhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 confirms the statement, Shrinavatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridaya Antastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhut Satam. See Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So here, the key to this process of relishing the messages and cleansing the desire for material enjoyment is very nicely given. It says, when properly heard and chanted. Properly heard and chanted means we hear from a bona fide authority and we chant the holy names according to their prescription. And when we hear from a bona fide authority, these messages are very relishable. Just like it's mentioned that the Srimad Bhagavatam is already very relishable. But when Shukadeva Goswami spoke, it became even more relishable. Similarly, when we hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a bona fide devotee, it becomes very relishable. And when we chant the holy names by following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the previous Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and our spiritual masters, then the whole process becomes very relishable. And what is the effect? The heart becomes cleansed of material desires. Prabhupada explains that is the test. He writes in one letter, that is the test. When you hear Krishna Katha, you relish the messages of Krishna and the material desires in your heart gets cleansed. So there is no need of separate endeavors for these things. So there is no need of opposite endeavor, which is trying to fulfill material desires. We should avoid this opposite endeavor. Let us try to fulfill material desires. Then this process of relishing the messages and cleansing the heart, that becomes obstructed. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. Srinivatam Swakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. The heart is filled with straw, grains of sands, weed or dust. In other words, Anya Bilashita Purna. One cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga system and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. So that's the point, that we should attain, we should attempt this process of Krishna consciousness, attempt this process of attaining pure love of God without simultaneously attempting to fulfill different material desires, varieties of material desires. So the heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. So that's the point, that Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna is not approachable by a third-class fellow in the modes of passion and ignorance. Krishna is approachable only by one who is situated in pure goodness. Then Prabhupada, this purport is very, very interesting, because Prabhupada explains in great detail what each element is. He explained that material desires should not be there. Then he goes on to explain what is a material desire. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. So when one has such a desire, that let me enjoy the material world to its fullest extent, this is defined as a material desire. This is the definition of a material desire. In modern language, Prabhupada very nicely explains, this is called economic development. Because without economic development, if you have no money, you cannot enjoy the material world to the fullest extent. In fact, it is mentioned, I've read once, that how economic development also makes romance enjoyable. Because no woman would like to be associated with a poor man. You know? Generally, women are inclined to associate with a economically well-established man. So, economic development makes romance very convenient. So, in modern language, Prabhupada says, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is to be considered like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Samsara Vishanale Divanishi Hiya Jwale Judaitana Kainu Upaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of pure devotional service. There it is again. Endeavor for material opulence, that's not our point. We're not trying to make the car more comfortable for our ride. We are taking whatever we have because we all have equal opportunity. Or everybody, there's no discrimination. Whatever background one is from, everybody has equal opportunity to go back to Godhead. Everybody has equal facility. Of course, if one, somebody may have more convenient facility, that's okay. But in terms of equal advantage, everybody has an equal advantage. All of us can drive at the same speed. Simply have to utilize. We should not be so much bothered about, riding well and all these different things. We have to be bothered with this instrument, this human life, human form of body, whatever karmas I have, despite whatever karmas, it can take me at the same speed as anybody else back to Godhead. So let me utilize this human form of life. So if we try to endeavor for material opulence, that's against the principles of your devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. So material enjoyment even includes trying to live happily in this material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. So modernized material benefits. What are modernized material benefits? iPad is a modernized material benefit. A smartphone is a modernized material benefit. There are several others. modernized material benefits. So it says that these are like dust of material contamination. And Prabhupada in fact explains that if it is engaged in the service of the Lord, as explained by Rupa Goswami, then it is perfect. But suppose you desire to have these objects for making your life very enjoyable, that is a material desire. But these objects, when engaged in the service of the Lord, then they're perfect. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, electricity, by definition, it is not bad. If you use it for, it can be used for cooling or heating. So when you have to use it for cooling, don't use it for heating. When you have to use it for heating, don't use it for cooling. That's the point. So when we have to use modernized material benefits, they should be used to be engaged in the service of the Lord for His pleasure. When this dust is agitated, first of all, you have material benefits, and Prabhupada explains, it's a very fascinating purport, how detailed Prabhupada explains this. So when you have this material benefits, when this dust, so this is considered like a dust, when this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, you know, so you have material benefits and you have fruitive activity, this combination, it overcomes the heart. So the heart gets captured, completely captures the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with the dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities. But people do not know how life after life, they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. So they think that by material arrangement, if there's a problem, let us try to fix it like this. So they think completely in the material realm. And though, so Prabhupada explains that they think that one karmic activity can be counteracted by another karmic activity. So they're constantly thinking in terms of material. One activity, counteraction by another activity, like this. This whole thing is a mistaken conception, Prabhupada explains. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. So suffering is one bank account, auspicious activities is another bank account. So suffering is independent, auspicious activities are independent. So enjoyment are independent. You cannot try to counteract the one by the other. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord confirms that He sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. Of course, here, this purport comes at the ending of the episode of the cleansing. So Prabhupada freely uses these expressions like grains and grains of sand and things like that, which refers to the contamination. In the Gundicha temple, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleansing the temple, he first cleansed all the grains and the sand and all that. And then he cleansed the fine dust. And not only that, once they removed it, even from outside they cleared it. Prabhupada will explain that in this purport, so that it doesn't come back again. So, they're all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. Wonderful expression. They cause irritation to the heart. So you are irritated, you cannot be peaceful, right? When we say irritated, it means that person is not peaceful. So the moment all these things are there, you can never be peaceful. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of God by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit on our hearts peacefully. rather the Lord is simply disturbed by them. So we're not only disturbing ourselves, we're also trying to disturb the Lord. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they falsely think that they've attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way. Tan aham dvishataha kruran samashreshu naradhaman shipami ajashram ashuban asureshu eva jonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Now we come to the actual pastime where Prabhupada explains in detail about this pastime of Gundicha Marjanam. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would come again within. So he not only cleansed thoroughly and placed the dirt outside, but he also removed it from outside, because he was fearful that they may again come back inside. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. So one is not content with what one is doing. One is constantly trying to do this, that, trying to, in the name of improving devotional activity. So when one is, that is called over-endeavor. Whatever one is doing for his livelihood, if it is able to sustain himself in a satisfactory manner, that is good enough. One doesn't have to keep accumulating, constantly endeavoring. But one often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. But the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as fault finding and pratishtasha, desire for name and fame and for high position, jiva himsa, envy of other living entities, nishidachara, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, anchoring for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtasha, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well. So Prabhupada explains, a neophyte devotee is certain, Prabhupada says, certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So Prabhupada says, dhanam and janam, we know, dhanam is wealth, janam is followers. And Prabhupada explains, sundaram means beautiful wife. So that's one interpretation of that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they explain that dhanam is wealth, janam includes wife, and this sundarim, they take it as an adjective of kavitam. So kavitam means scholarship, sundarim means very beautiful scholarship. So they give another perspective to that verse of the Shikshashtakam. So Prabhupada explains here that neophyte devotees generally have these desires, they're attacked by desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. The word jiva himsa, envy of other living entity, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Because when one becomes materially absorbed, one loses the taste for preaching. I remember once Jayapatha Maharaj mentioned in a lecture that one can know whether one is healthily situated in Krishna consciousness by checking whether one has a desire to preach. If one does not have a desire to preach, then one is not healthily situated in Krishna consciousness. So here Prabhupada explaining that this stopping, so when one's heart gets overwhelmed by material desires, one loses taste for preaching. The Prabhupada says that is jiva himsa. You're not giving Krishna consciousness to others. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxications or meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. So the second cleansing was to be more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. Regarding stumbling blocks, Prabhupada wanted us to practice devotional service with a certain intensity. And anything that comes in the way of intensity, we may think, oh, this much intense. Tivrena bhakti yogena. How is it possible? There are so many stumbling blocks. Prabhupada wrote in a letter, there are no stumbling blocks. With one stroke of my kick, I can kick out all these stumbling blocks, provided you are willing to accept that kick. So, even these stumbling blocks, we cannot think that this is an impossible endeavor. So many stumbling blocks. But Prabhupada is offering us personal assistance. He said, you listen to me. You read my books. Listen to me. I can kick out all these stumbling blocks. So Prabhupada is not allowing us for anything else than that goal of pure Krishna consciousness. Than the goal of Krishna prema. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he uses this expression called Nirbandhani Mati, which means determined consciousness. And he explains that in the platform of sadhana bhakti, one should be determined to achieve bhava bhakti. And in the platform of bhava bhakti, one should be determined to achieve prema bhakti. So this is our process, that one has to be determined. One should have this determination that I should achieve this truly selfless goal of Krishna prema. Okay, so continuing, he cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from using his own personal garments for cleansing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used his own personal garments for cleansing the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances by material contamination. In other words, it is a process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama and moksha. All these are like spots on the clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his own personal example, he demonstrated it. So Prabhupada explains, everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of cleansing, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. It is not that the process cleansing was going on, it's just some ecstatic cleansing festival. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally observing the cleansing. Is somebody doing all right? Is he doing enough? Somebody is not doing enough. What to do? So like that. You would encourage the devotees who are doing well. And those who are not doing well also you would encourage to do better. Like that. So he is constantly monitoring the process. So Prabhupada explains, that is an example for the acharyas. How they must train devotees by their personal example. By seeing the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord is very pleased with those who would cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called Anartha Nivritti. Chanting the heart of, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this Anartha Nivritti is part of the second verse of Sikshashtaka. Chanting the holy names of the Lord. Constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. I mean, without any consideration of time, place, circumstances. This great benediction is there. So we should take to this process. Chant the holy names in the association of devotees and practice in the association of devotees. So this Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti are explained in the second verse of the Sikshashtaka. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandira was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. So that ends the purport. So I think I'll stop there if there are any. I think we've gone over time. It's 9 o'clock. So if there are any comments or questions. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins this chapter with this glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let's sing that once. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. Gundicha Marjanam Pastime Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.